You're listening to the BBS Radio Network, and this is Between Two Worlds with Derek White Sky Cloud, healer, author, shaman, paranormal investigator. Stay tuned. Up next is Between Two Worlds with Derek White Sky Cloud.
Hello everyone, this is Eric Westcott Cloud, and you're listening to Between Two Worlds Radio on bbsradio.com, and they're also, we're getting this there quickly set up here on Ustream.tv. Somehow I just got kicked. I feel like a twit. I'm going to have to figure this darn thing out anyways. Today we have a very special guest, a good friend of mine. We have Dale Haggerty, who also has his own radio show on Friday nights at 8 o'clock. Called Métis Voices Radio. But I want, before I get started to introduce Dale on, I want to play us a wonderful song that we Métis dance to. And this is what's called River Jig.
Derek. It could be that Derek could have just got kicked off the air. Anyways, my name is Dale Haggerty. I'm the president of the Michif Historical and Cultural Preservation Society. Good evening.
we're back. I got kicked out.
I figured that. That's what I said. I was almost going to take over your show there for a minute there, but he told me that he kicked me off the air, too. I'll tell you, Derek. They says there were some termites at the other end eating the lines on the telephone poles.
Probably that's what's happening right now.
Yeah, so.
Wow, this is crazy. Well, see, that's what happens when you and I come together in a phone line. It just happens.
Yeah, so.
Anyways, I'm sure you folks have actually listened or heard the song. We actually called River Jig, and it's made by the late Art Bird. This is kind of the music we actually dance to. It's been around for a long, long time. It has a bit of an influence of the Cree French design of the beat, hoof beats. So what we do is called a jig. Our feet shuffle in moccasins. We don't always shuffle in shoes. But it's a lot of fun that we do. We try to have as many Métis gatherings as possible or get involved with. And when I go to a Métis gathering, I try to get my best friend to get involved here when he's in my territory, or else he tries to encourage me to come up to his territory, and we try to fit as much time as we can with each other. But Dale Haggerty is the curator of the Michif Métis Cultural Preservation Society, and he's up in Davenby, British Columbia, which is up near Clearwater. Now, those of you who don't know where it is, get him out. But it's a nice area, beautiful area, very serene out in the background. I'm telling you, you get lost in there, and you don't want to go home. It feels really nice. So now you've been there, Dale, for what, almost 3 years?
Over 3 years, yeah. Over
3 years.
Yeah.
And now that you've been there for that length of time, do you ever want to move back to Vancouver?
Maybe when I get really, really old. And I'm put into a home, and somebody will push me around in a wheelchair.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Or they will push you around in a Red River cart.
Yeah, that'll be a good idea. Yeah. No, I lived in the city all my life, Derek, and basically I saw the changes growing up, like, you know, from the 50s. Right up to when we moved out here, 2005,
yeah.
And it you need to get away from the stress of the hustle and bustle of everyday life, and we were going nowhere fast. My health was going down the tubes, and even my wife. It wasn't a very good time. I mean, she could hardly breathe. She had to have a machine to breathe with, you know what I'm saying? And you know, and of course, you know, she had a good medical system which, you know, paid for this machine, but it's sitting in the closet now, you know, and it's a $2,500 machine that's sitting in the closet, you know, so
yeah.
Eat it, and no, I don't think I'd come back. I'll come to visit, and that's about it. My city life is all over.
Well, you become spoiled after you get used to the good fresh air. I mean, even though Vancouver's not that terrible as far as, you know, breathing the air, I find it really, it's not bad here. But I think what it is that you guys are living so close to traffic, right next to the street, and I think that's what caused a lot of your lung issues.
Yeah, that could be that really could be the problem. A lot of you know, dump trucks and transport trucks. So, you know, we did live off Scott Road there, and
yeah, so, and that's major traffic.
Yeah,
you know, there's no fence up to protect you from breathing.
Yeah,
you know, from all exhaust. I mean, I know what it feels like. Especially when I was doing, we were selling our wares, all our craft. We did, we do the White Rock, farmer's market out in, White Rock, which is great. But then I did something in Fort Langley for another Fort Langley group. And we're right next to the in town, or in the city part, center part of the city. And the traffic is so heavy. We're right next to the street. And my tent was like, I was breathing
fumes of exhaust because the traffic was so thick that they were going so slow that the exhaust was coming. It was horrible. I was feeling so sick, and I said to my wife, I'm not going to go back here again. There's no way I can handle this area.
Yeah.
As much as, I mean, I can't breathe. I was going to have a hard time breathing. So I think, you know, like, I think, you know, your wife and myself went through the same problems, that we were so used to clean air that you can't handle exhaust. I mean, I can't handle breathing an exhaust pipe.
Yeah, it can be exhausting. It can be exhausting, like Dale says.
It's exhausting. Total exhausting.
Yeah. Well, listen, let me tell you about what's been happening here. Dale and I have been doing some excursions, and of course, you I've kept you up to date, but I haven't been able to actually, I just spontaneously tell a few things when I was on the air, but Dale and I went to the Delia Historical Festival out there, a Métis gathering, and, you know, and of course I put on the play for the, for the society there, and it was, it's very difficult to try to find volunteers to help around, and of course I was scrambling around just to get some actors just to do the play with, and of course I would say it's a lot of fun. I mean, you know, there is people there saying, you know, that you got to do the play without having the script in front of you, and I says, you know, it's not like we get there one day ahead. I gather people up; they haven't even taken a look at the play themselves. You can't expect people to just pick it up just like that. So, the people that I did have on hand, it was really fun. It was a good group of people that I met, some new people, and of course some of the originals from the first play there were there, and it was a lot of fun, a lot of hard work. It's gratifying when, you know, you can have 20 or 25 people in the audience, and, you know, and they all give you a clap after the play's over, and it was very good. And this time my wife had the privilege of being there. She missed the first one, and it was really good. And of course, then after the play was over, then we had an announcement that Louis Riel was going to be escorted to the camp, and he was going to plead his case in front of the camp people there, and that was really interesting. There is a gentleman that comes from Medicine Hat area, and his name is Wally Grew, and he'll be on our program. We're just trying to schedule him, and he's going to do the reenactment of the last reenactment of Louis Riel when he was in the courthouse stating his case just at the end of his trial, and he had his last words. And this gentleman has the spirit of Louis Riel in him, and Derek, it was just, you saw him last year, and it brings tears to your eyes. This man, I had contact him earlier through the week here, and last week there, and I told him that he has Louis Riel's spirit in him, and he actually paused and because he was choked from the expression I said to him, because I don't think that anybody's ever said that to him. So
no, and you know what, that I find that when a person's told that actually overwhelms them. I feel that they get blown away by that, and which is good. It's a compliment. It's a huge compliment. But he does act like him. And he talks like him. I mean, we don't know what Lou Ariel was like, but he, the looks, the acting, I mean, I'm telling you, when I watched him on the platform doing his thing, his talk, and playing Riel, I swore to God, my arms, the hairs of my arms were standing up, back of my neck, and I thought, you know what, the spirit of Lou Ariel is right behind this man, and he's playing, reenacting his role, and he's right in his body, he's playing his spirit.
Yeah.
And it was so powerful.
Yeah, it happened to Dale and I. We were there, and you're right. The hairs were just standing up on our arms, and it was just in the back of the neck. Oh man, it was just shivers down our.
Oh yeah. I'm going, okay, this is going to be a good one from this guy. I mean, it's very effective when you start seeing people like that able to. Perform and be very, like, you know, like I should say, they're right in your face, and you know you just can't walk away. You know, I remember you see when you watch a certain movie, it's like a cliffhanger. You just don't want to leave it.
Yeah.
You hang right onto that and see if I wait to see what the finish is. But you know what? I think another part of the big effect, what really got me, when he walked in with a ball and chain. That, and then he dropped on the floor real hard. You know, let it drop real hard. Got everybody's attention. I'm telling you, we almost woke up everybody.
Oh, it sure did.
Well, then he purposely dropped that sucker, I'm telling you. But I think that's how Riel was able to get people's response was he dropped it, and that ball was not plastic. It was metal. It's the original. It must have been like an original piece like it.
Yeah, it was. He also... this time when he did his performance, of course, they had him come in on a horse and buggy. And, of course, he was had two guards holding him, and they, of course, they had to help him out of the... they had to help him down because he was... Both of his legs were shackled, and...
Oh,
yeah, it was tremendous. The things, of course, and then he dropped the, even just dropping his ball and chain there. He, you could feel the thump on the ground. It was Derek. It was just awesome. And but that was the highlight of the performance in that day that we were there. And of course. Dale and I had a very quality. I think everybody at the camp had a quality time. It was more, I'd say, there was more family values there this year than there was the previous years. It was more like they were just not having enough time for the families and the kids. There was more kids there this time, and it felt really, really family-like. It was really good. It was a really good time while we were there. You know, and while we were there, they also had a couple performers that played on the last day on the Sunday, but his name is... Dallas Arcan, and he's a Métis artist, hoop dancer, but I think he's got status more than he is, but he is Métis because he said that he has Métis ancestry in his tree, but he's got more First Nation, and so he has a status card, and he did the hoop dance, and he did it just like, it was powerful, it was, he did figures of like an eagle opening up, he did a raven, he did the caterpillar as the caterpillar was coming out of the cocoon, and then turning into this beautiful butterfly. It was absolutely fabulous. And of course, you know, again, we went back to family values, Derek. It was like he had a son there that actually was doing a performance as well, which is, you know, this is what, like I was saying before, it was really a family, oh, it felt good, you know, to see the kids out there doing their stuff, and, it's powerful, really powerful. Dale keeps telling me powerful in the background here, she's listening here, so.
If anybody's kind of curious why I left the rooms, the chat rooms, is because my computer just crashed.
Oh, did it?
I don't know why it did that. It says Microsoft cannot hold this, and next thing you know, it just crashed me out. So those of you who think that I was booted out of my own room, no. It's an accident, folks. My computer just crashed, and I lost contact through the computer system. That's why I'm unable to get onto doing Ustream.tv on the front page. But I'm trying to get this thing come back up again. Now, I know we have someone who actually was waiting for a phone call to have a chat with me regarding something, so I'm not sure if it's regarding our interview, but is that fellow still online?
Yes. I'm here.
Oh, he's still sitting there patiently.
Yeah, you told me to wait.
Okay. Who am I speaking to?
Hi, Derek. My name is Carlos.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
I'm so pleased to talk to you.
Okay.
I've been reading about you on your webpage, and I was wondering if I could ask you a couple of questions, if you felt something.
Sure, go for it.
I'm not from the U.S. I live in Southern California with my partner.
Uh-huh.
And as a matter of fact, we're going to get married soon, and we're both the same sex, so... we are in the process of... Sorry?
I say, am I shocked?
we're in the process of putting in order our immigration papers.
Yes.
And my appointment with the judge has been fixed for January the 6th.
Uh-huh.
In the meantime, my buddy has his own process. And his paperwork is getting in order now. So I was wondering if you could feel anything about it.
As in how long it'll take to get back for this whole thing to work?
No, if we're going to be granted our green cards.
That was your biggest panic? You're from Mexico, directly from Mexico? Or
No, I am from Peru, and my buddy is from Venezuela.
Okay.
We're not Mexicans.
Okay. No, because Spanish, first thing, you know, like, Gaspar, I have to excuse me because basically I'm a Canadian.
Yes.
We don't have too many people speak Spanish here, so I've never known where anybody is really from.
Yeah, I understand. And a lot of people here still think when they hear you speaking Spanish, they ask you immediately if you're from Mexico.
Because they're making a big deal about this. I don't, you know what, I'm sorry. The American government is really stupid in what they're doing by preventing anybody who speaks Spanish to come across the border into the United States.
Yeah, I know.
It was a country that was fought for freedom.
Okay? Exactly.
And a lot of part of the Spanish colonies are still part of the United States, so why are they separating the country itself?
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
So that very foolish on their part, but anyways, that's just my opinion.
Yeah.
All right, makes a lot of sense. I mean, I used to always enjoy watching Zorro. Anyways, as far as I'll give you an example. This is Dale Haggard that's on our show. We're Métis people. We are the half breed. Okay, we are in the same similar thing as you are. We have a native blood as well as European blood.
Exactly.
We have gone through the similar things that you have been through where, you know, you want to find out if you're going to get your red card, not your green card. Our red card means you're Indian. Or, you know, and
If you get a brown card, it means you're a half-breed.
Exactly. No, but you know what? We don't have any complexes in that sense, because we are highly educated. We both did our MBAs.
Yeah.
And at some point we consider ourselves in culturally in a higher level. You understand? So the thing is that we want to be here on a legal basis.
Yeah.
And that's why we're trying to legalize everything. There's been not a single second that we have not been legal here. All the time we've been, but at some point, your visas end up the status, so you have to convert it,
yeah,
or, you know, in order to get the green card.
Yes. Yeah. So now you want to find out if you're going to be getting your green card or
yeah, both of us.
Okay, or for both of you or just one of you?
No, for both of us.
How long have you been in the United States?
We came here the second time. We came here in April 2001. And when I say the second time, it's because the first time we arrived in March 1997. And work here until February 2000, and then we went to work to Hong Kong for 1 year.
Oh, that's a nice place.
Yeah, beautiful. And then we came back here,
mm-hmm,
and then now we want to stay here.
I want to say there's going to be a bit of a delay on you, not because of time-wise, so to speak, but I think it'd be a bit of delay as far as green card. I got a funny feeling you may be looking about 2 years, not just this whole by the time this year.
Okay, so
it'd be a delay on 2 years. Now it has nothing to do with you about having to be two-spirited. We call it two-spirited. Anybody who's same sex is spirited, and we are. That's what we're taught. I have a very strong feeling I'm being told you're 2 years, so you're probably looking at about 2 years when everything starts to settle.
Okay, but it looks positive. I mean, it will...
It looks really... Yeah.
Yeah. And, so, and my buddies?
Pretty well, that's what this means between both you and him, yeah.
Sorry?
Yeah. Within about 2 years.
I didn't hear you.
In about 2 years.
For both of us?
For both of you.
Okay, so we're staying here. We're not leaving.
I don't see that. I really don't feel that you're being pushed away, no.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, one last thing.
Yeah.
this coming Monday, I have an exam for a new license that I'm applying for.
Yeah.
How is it going to go?
Well, it depends how smart you are.
Sorry? I am smart. I'm very smart.
Well, let's put it this way. When you put your intentions into it, you yourself already know that it's going to be successful.
Oh, okay.
It doesn't take me to tell you what was going to happen. You just know.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, it's been a pleasure to listen to you, and it's always refreshing. I always listen to you guys, follow your programs, and thank you very much. We're getting married on October the 4th.
Well, congratulations. I hope you do well.
Thank you very much. Thanks for your time, huh?
You're welcome.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. Bye-bye, guys.
Bye-bye.
That happens.
Yeah, that's a good answer, Derek. Yeah, that's a very good answer that you came up with. I felt that even though that you're the expert at this, I felt there was going to be a little bit of a delay on his behalf, too.
Yeah.
But I don't know, you know, I think they are going to get it. It's just the way they operate in the U.S. So, you know, it's a tough.
It's harder for anyone in the States now to get a green card, much harder. George Bush is making it tougher and tougher, but the military is making it for them. They're making sure. In fact, I was listening to some of the programs and from a lot of people, and they're saying they're trying to make sure that no more Mexicans actually come into the United States for the next 2 to 3 years. Yeah. And I don't know why they're doing that, because they're not a threat to care, being to being bad guys. I mean, we don't have Pancho Villa anymore.
Yeah.
So to speak.
They're not Mexicans. I just feel that I think the right now they're the government right now they're just concentrating on the election that's coming up, and I think I think that could be the biggest delay.
Yeah.
That I see. I feel that that's what's going to delay their opportunity.
Yeah. But like I said, it's anybody now, not just, like I'm just saying, not just Mexicans, but anybody from any country now. They're making it hard on anybody coming here.
Yeah.
But if you if you're Spanish speaking, they are making it really hard. Like I say, well, for example, here in our country in Canada, they're making it even harder now for East Indians to come to our country. Before, it used to be really simple for them to come in here, bring their families. Yeah, it's so similar. We have so many similarities.
Yeah.
But because we're a free country, we are so multiculturally open to all cultures, and that's what makes us different compared to the United States.
Yeah, that's true.
It used to be their time back in the early years when they were pioneering the United States, they were always open for a lot of people. Now they're so protective of it, and Canada is still open. We're not, I mean, yes, we a lot of people here don't like being militarized, and this is what a lot of times that people are trying to do. They're trying to militarize our country.
Yeah.
And we've always been known as peacekeepers, and we do have an elder by name of, I mean, yourself and I do know. We have Bob Kelly, who is a peacekeeper.
Yeah.
You know, remember, he used to tell you that all they had to count their bullets.
Yeah.
You know? So,
yeah, I just, a matter of fact, I just got off the phone talking to Elder Bob Kelly. We used to have the children's camp. It was called the Mushum and Cookums children's camp, right?
Yeah.
And, I asked his blessing if we could. Because we did present him with the flag that you had made for him, and we are now, Dale and I are going to be changing our venue when we go out on our tricks to rendezvous and stuff. We are going to set up it's going to be called the Mushum and Cookums Camp. And we're gonna set the theme and talk about you know, to the kids, and have storytelling going on in the teepee, and I was telling him about it, and I asked him if he wouldn't mind if we sort of took over the name more than and used it more, and he gave us his blessings, and
wow.
I have him on the air in the near future. He's going to tell us about him, his adventures with his new group that he's got. He's got over 50 kids jigging, and he's got all kinds of funding available for himself, and he did it on his own. He didn't ask the government for help, and he's getting all kinds of financial help from donators, and it's really good for him to do that, you know. So,
wow.
Yeah, and he's sort of upset with the community, but you know, it's really difficult to it's very difficult to forgive the community. But you know, I tried to, you know, talk to him, and I think there was a few people that were just out to target him, but I told him, you know, we got to move on, and he agreed on that, so that's good. So, yeah. Anyways, getting back to where we were, I was still back in Alberta there, Derek.
Yeah, and so now we're actually involved with the Delia in Alberta, and now that was a 4 or 5 day event, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's a four-day event. Yeah.
And it's open to all the public. So if you folks, if you ever want to try to come out there and to join us at times, those of you that are in the area in Alberta or even British Columbia or anywhere across Canada, we welcome you to join us. It's open to the public. And we, if you ever want to go to the website, it is opened. You can check the next following date for the next following year, for next year. And also, besides Delia, we also, you're involved in the St. Albert area. With Senator Shelafu, and is there anything that's happening up there with her between you and her that you may be discussing?
Well, right now we are with Delia. By the way, Delia is they've already set their dates. I think you said it was July, early July. They're going to have the 4-day thing because they're trying to avoid back to the Batosh days, and there's a couple other gatherings that seem to be around that time, and they're trying to adjust that. You know, they make up a time, and of course everybody's trying to bring people to these events, and of course, you know, the cost of gas is really, really hurting everybody, but the Delia people have got their own historical society, and we are trying to be part of a cultural group, and Senator Salma Shelafu has got a cultural group in St. Albert's, and that's just a little outside of Edmonton. And they've been going for a while. And, of course, what the whole idea is, we're going to try to create a network of Machif historical sites and be able to view other artifacts that are available. And like I said, like our artifacts right now, we have some right now that are in Delia right now. And they're only out there on loan for people to on tour. You know, these artifacts belong to the Machif people of British Columbia, but they belong to the Machif people of Canada. Where our organization is it doesn't, it's irrelevant. We have one here in British Columbia. They will stay with the Historical Society, but why should they be put into a small room and nobody get access to them? So right now we have, people have had access to these artifacts. And it's, again, it's a sharing of our culture. So, but this is in the near future that we're going to try to create a network so we can be trading artifacts. And of course, now that we are back online here with we put a reinstatement of our charity status in. So we are now going to go and see if we can go after some funding to get the bus, the mobile bus, on tour, and to get a little bit of funding so we can go around. Speaking of that, we sort of had a mini tour. We went up to Williams Lake and to another family gathering here in British Columbia, which was, it was absolutely fabulous. And British Columbia has many, many small communities that have family gatherings, and we're going to try to do our best next year to try to reach as many as we can. If that was the whole idea behind the getting the bus.
Have you noticed, Dale, that when you travel to different areas, new areas that you've never been to before, like say Williams Lake, there are more Métis coming out of the woodwork that didn't express themselves being Métis at the time.
Yeah.
Once they, met you or talked to you, they're going like, okay, what can I do to get my status card, or what can I do, what's the advantage about being a Métis, or, you know, we never knew about this, we never knew about the museum existing, or we never knew about all these so-called gatherings. And so here we are. We're new in the community. As far as BC is concerned, BC is a there is more people coming out.
Oh, sure. They're, according to the Canadian census that was issued in 2007, I'm not too sure, 2006, they issued the census, I'm not too sure the year it was, that they have self-identified, Métis people have self-identified themselves, and they says there were 67,000 Métis people here. Living in British Columbia.
Wow.
Yeah, and right now, there is small organizations. I belong to an organization that's called the Vancouver Métis Community Association. And it's in Vancouver. And they're a community association that does things. They put on festivals. They put on programs. They have hunting programs. They're a great organization, and yet they have no ties to the provincial council because they're not recognized for being Métis people. Well, I'm not going to get political about this, but Derek, this Métis Nation in BC has no right to discriminate about who they are and who they're selecting. And as far as I'm concerned, that's what they're doing. Sorry, I am Red River, and I can't even get a membership card because I have to belong to one of their charters, which I think is against my constitution of a Canadian citizen, that I don't need to belong to an organization like this. So I think they are in violations of the Canadian Constitution right off the bat by discriminating for people that have self-declared themselves as 67,000 people here.
Oh. I think we've got a caller calling in.
Go ahead.
Is there a caller there?
Yes, hello?
Hello.
Hello, Derek. This is Frank in California.
Yes.
Yes, I'd like to know if you give me a reading and tell me if my brother's going to side with me for a legal document and a court date in September.
Well, let me tell you this, my friend. I'm going to give you my phone number, and you can give me a call at this number.
Okay.
Okay, it's 604.
604.
818.
818.
8375.
8375.
Yep, give me a call after the show.
Okay.
And I'll chat with you regarding your issue. How's that?
Thank you very much.
Okay, you're welcome.
But stay on the stay and listen to the show though. It's a good program.
I will. I just remembered you were on.
Oh, okay, good. Well, listen to the show. I got lots of things to talk about.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Anyways, so you're a little disappointed with MNBC then?
Well, they're having an election, and, you know, they're saying they have a membership of 4,000 people. I think the election is...
If I remember correctly, Dale, I remember talking to, who was it, the previous president, not Desjardins himself, but there was somebody who actually was on the board at the time before they became the new elected. But when Desjardins was on board, they actually had originally 10,000 memberships.
Oh, yeah.
And when they came on, the new group came in, which is this group now, they downsized 6,000.
Yeah, what they did is they went through the list and they figured, well, you know what it is? It sounds like it's a rigged election as far as I'm concerned. If the leader of the Métis Nation in BC thinks that he is a leader, then he'd let everybody vote. But
yes.
You know, the problem is, I don't think that he's a leader. I think that if he has the confidence of the people, then he should let the people vote. And they've got this ridiculous person, you know, that's controlling him. And unfortunately, it's all about the money. It's all about the money.
I believe we got $6.4 million that they're supposed to be helping out the Métis community, which basically a lot of people, the reason why we're Métis is that we can apply two assistances that we do have as far as our status is concerned. One is to continue our education, to further education, become much more intelligent people. The second is if you need to get funding from a bank, governments have a hard time, people have difficulties actually getting funding or grants themselves to start their own businesses. But being a Métis, you can actually apply for the grant by approaching MNBC. They're the ones that are given the funding, but yet I've been told for I don't know how many people coming to me and telling me that they got turned down by MNBC due to saying there's no money or they're not qualified enough. You either being a Métis or you're not telling the truth.
Yeah.
I was told, Derek,
that it's easier to apply through the provincial government or Canada employment to get jobs and reprogrammed apprentices, etc., nursing, whatever. It's easier to apply for funding available for these courses for Aboriginal people without even having to go through the organizations like Métis Nation in BC or any of the First Nation courses. There's so much red tape involved that you can actually go down to the government office and says, listen, I want to be a nurse. I'm an Aboriginal person. Can I get an application?
Mm-hmm.
And you can apply right away. And they offer much more than what you would get if you were applying through Métis Nation and BC sort of things. You know, they say you can only apply for $15,000 for your course. Well, I mean, you know, I think in nursing it's probably even more than that. But you know,
yeah. But who told them that you're only allowed $15,000? I was told you're allowed even more than that if you're necessary. Whatever your course is, you get the full fees of your courses. And now the Manitoba Métis Association is going through the same thing. They did the same thing to my cousin, who is just as much Métis as I am, who is Red River. She applied to the Manitoba Métis Association. They told her that she wasn't Métis enough, and she wanted to be a paramedic. And they turned her down.
Yeah.
Now, Chartrand should know better. He's the man that was running the Manitoba Métis Association. He should know better. You don't tell someone who is really true for Red River, saying you're not Métis enough. I'm sorry. I mean, I don't like getting political, but we need to really let our people know that we are self-identified, we're people, we're human beings. And I thought we're supposed to be coming to band together to work with each other. And this is why we are considered as a cultural and preservation organization as a museum. That's why you and I don't get involved with politics, because if we ever did, a lot of heads would roll.
Yeah.
It would. That's why we always have difficulties being recognized by the Métis Nation of British Columbia, because they don't want to recognize you and I, or you recognize the museum, so to speak, because they want it to be a political program.
Yeah. You know, Derek, it's like I've been listening to the elders, and they say in order to understand the Métis people and as a Métis person, you have to go back to the culture. You have to learn your culture. You've got to learn the family values. You've got to learn the community values. You've got to do this before you can understand where a Métis coming from.
Yeah.
Well, right now, we're way off target. We have a couple leaders that are actually running in this election, which we hope that they actually get in. Believe me, these are community people. These are, they're in the community working. They're helping people. And this is what we need for leaders to be there. We don't need people to say that Métis people are just a bunch of incompetent people, because that's what our leaders today are calling us.
Okay, we got a caller that wants to call in, because they got somebody in the chat room who's trying to get called in. They're saying the signals are always busy, so we're going to give you another room. We got another phone number for you. Contact this number, and that's 888-228-4494. That's 888-228-4494. Call that number, and you should be able to get in. She's saying, they don't want me to call in. Yes, we do.
Yeah.
But call in.
Derek, I see we've only got a little bit of time, and
I've got five more minutes, six more minutes. So
yeah.
Okay.
You know, getting back to this election, it's like I was watching on television, and I don't usually get involved with the American politics.
Yeah.
This Democrat that's running, and he's been just, you know, we're going to run for president. He says it's time for a change. That's what we need. We need a change. We need a change of leadership. We need to clean the slate, and we need to get people that are going to get back to our grassroots family value, community value. Stop fighting amongst each other.
Yeah.
You know, this is what we need to do. And it, when you hear this guy talking, and he's trying to bring 300 million people, excuse me if I'm not saying it exactly how many people that live in the United States, 300 million people together, and all we are trying to do is bring 67,000 people together. There's
yeah.
a little bit of a difference here, but our government, or Métis Nation, which is we need, because that's what we need. We need leaders to lead us into the next level. But the leaders we got today aren't leading us. They're leading us down the garden path, and this isn't fair, you know.
No.
I wish everybody would get out there and vote, even if you're not registered. Get out and vote and demand your vote. Because if you don't vote, you know, we'll never get a change.
I think what happens is what we need to do is, like, look at Alberta. Alberta needs a new president. BC needs a new president. Manitoba needs a new president. So, I mean, Saskatchewan already had dealt with their issues in the last few years. I hope it improves a whole lot more. Again, you know, these things do change. Things do happen. We're getting close to closing, folks, and I was hoping that Joanne would call in. She was trying to get through. They said they transferred Constitution 2 and they couldn't transfer the call. Okay. She's having a hard time getting through. Well, I'm sorry. You're going to have to hang on to that question and give Dale a call. Now, Dale, you have a website available for those who actually want to actually go to your website, and that is the MachiffMetisMuseum.org. That's MachiffMetisMuseum.org. And if you want to give Dale a call, he's actually listed on 250-676-0096. That's 250-676-0096. If you want to chat with him regarding any major cultural, Machif cultural program or any type of assistance regarding, yeah, there you go. They're going to go to the Machif show and message you. They're going to Machif you, Dale.
Okay, there you go. So
there you go. Well, it's been a pleasure having you on.
Yeah, I, Derek, I wish I could have talked to you a little bit more about culture and stuff like this, but
we will keep on talking more about culture. I'll get you back on here again. We have more to talk about.
Yeah, there you go.
If you're just meant to be, meant to be.
Okay, my friend. Thanks a lot for having me on, and thank your sponsors for you too. Thank you.
Thanks for the sponsors for actually carrying us over with APSR Radio, as well as we have the European programs across the world, including Australia. Thanks, folks, for carrying us. This is Derek White, Sky Cloud, and you listen to Between Two Worlds Radio. We'll talk to you next week. I've got some great people coming up. I'm hoping they'll come up in October, which I know is. These are the guys, Chris Booth and his crew, the ones that have done the paranormal investigating in the... anyways, we'll talk about it next week. I'll just let you all know about that, folks. So take care, folks. Bye.